Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Empty the chamber on. And how do you do that? We're 6 seconds. Point eight, point B. Everything you got. Everything you got. Turn that shit up. Let's go.
Welcome to Scoop World Order. We're rolling live. We have our recruiting expert, Bill the Bank Green, joining us. We're going to talk about an array of topics. We have some big-time guys coming. We have we got some stuff on spring ball. We got quarterback predictions. We have transfer portal news. There is just a ton of stuff to talk about. And we get to talk about that awful national championship game. So we're going to get Bank's take on all of those. So as always, we're thankful and grateful for you guys. Super chat lines are open. Hit that like button. We appreciate you as always. Click that little bell. It'll give you an alert every time we go live. If you guys enjoy these, subscribe to the page. Appreciate you guys. Comment down below which freshman that enrolled early is going to make the biggest impact. I think Carnell Tate is the easy one there. He is a freak show. I can't wait to see that guy play. Also, look out for Luke Montgomery. We need a pass-blocking tackle. We need an interior lineman, and we need some guys to step up and play on that O-line next year. That being said, bring my man, Bill the Bank Green. Bank, how are you tonight?
Good, man. Doing real good.
So we it's funny because I talked to you a couple days ago, and you know, your quote that you always say was TCU stinks. They really stink. They stink. And then the Bulldogs showed up last night in maybe the worst championship game in the history of sports. And you're right. But your thoughts on Georgia winning the national championship and, you know, how much, I mean, again, when you're an Ohio State player, coach, the what could have been game is something you're going to live with for the rest of your life because you were a 50-yard field goal away from beating those guys. Wow. And beating TCU and being the national champions. Again, that's like something that, you know, people that were ready to crucify Ryan Day after the Michigan game and crucify all the players and fire everybody. We were a field goal away from winning a national championship this year. So, you know, your thoughts on Georgia and the Buckeyes as we wrap up the 2022 season.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I had predicted on the site that Georgia would murder TCU. And I thought that all along. You know, if you looked at the Michigan game, Michigan – first play from scrimmage, they run about 60 yards down to the 10-yard line. They got no points out of that. So they threw away 3 points or 7 points there. They threw two pick sixes. They fumbled on the one-inch line going in to score a touchdown. So they gave TCU 24 to 28 points there. And that game went down to the last play. You know, I mean, so – that kind of told me that TCU is just not very good. And then in the Big 12 title game, you could see Kansas State beat TCU. Early in the year, TCU beat Kansas State. So they're basically the same team. They're the same. TCU, Kansas State. Well, we saw Alabama with 10 opt-outs just beat the dog out of Kansas State. And Alabama doesn't want to play in those games. Mm-hmm. So they showed up and they just – half-assed it and killed Kansas State. Well, Georgia in a championship game is not going to show up and half-ass it, okay? So that just told me if TCU and Kansas State are the same, Georgia's better than Bama. And Bama murdered Kansas State, so, I mean, it was logical to me that Georgia was going to murder TCU. And they did. You know, they killed them. I mean, they're just – every program has a ceiling – And the TCU ceiling is probably not to beat the best team in the SEC when they're at their best. I don't think TCU can field a team that can beat the SEC's best. And we saw that last night. I thought that game was easy pickings, and it was. You know, yeah, it was a very, very predictable result, I thought. You know, and especially once you saw the Bama-Kansas State game, I thought that was a huge tell as to what was coming.
Do you and I asked Nevada the same question. If you were the head of the committee, and instead of it being a committee, it was just Bill the Bank Green picks the four guys in the playoffs, how do you do it? Do you still reward teams for winning a lesser conference, or do you go with a true four best teams?
Yeah. Well, they don't have – what is the goal? You know, are you looking to get the four most deserving teams? Are you getting the four teams that earned their way in? Do you want the four best teams? And I don't know. I don't think they ever really answer that. You know, if you're looking to get the four best teams, there's no way you leave Alabama out of there. I mean, nobody would want to play them. No. You know, they lost two games this year, both on the last play of the game field goals. I mean, So I don't know. I mean, did TCU deserve to be there? Yeah, they did. I guess if you're looking at who deserves it. But, you know, if you're looking to get the best four, that was not the best four. If the best four didn't include Alabama, then you don't have the best four. Alabama would have been favored over Ohio State. They would have been a huge favorite over TCU. Two touchdowns, just like Georgia was. Bama would have been an 8 or a 9 point favorite over Michigan. So I don't know. You know what I mean? There's no set criteria. I don't know what they want. The most deserving team, you know, the teams that they like, or the best. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know what they want. But I think, you know, I've always been against the 12-team format. But I think maybe the 12-team format satisfies everybody because you're going to get the best teams, the most deserving teams, you know, the teams the committee wants. You'll get everything then. You know, when the 13th and the 14th team are screaming, nobody's going to care about them. So I think maybe 12-team is the way to go. You know, in 12-team format, Bama would have been in it. And, you know, who wants to play them? You know, answer, nobody. You know, does Georgia want to play? Would Georgia want to play Bama next week for the title? Heck no, they don't. They'd rather play TCU again. Oh. You know, so plus, you know, when Georgia had their scare against Ohio State and Ohio State had them beat, then when they got let off the ground, man, you didn't knock them out. You had them and you couldn't knock them out and they come off the canvas. You knew somebody was going to pay for that. And that somebody was TCU. You know, Georgia got a huge break getting by Ohio State. They were done in that game. Well, then they got, you know, they got a lifeline and boy, they took advantage of it. And just, you know, to me, it was predictable that there was going to be a butt kicking last night. I didn't think it'd be that bad, you know, but, you know, they, you know, Ohio State had Georgia beat. I don't know what the ESPN lists a win probability during those games. Oh, and yeah. I don't know what it was in the fourth quarter when Ohio State was up 14. It had to have been 80, 85, 90% win probability. I don't know. I don't remember seeing it on the screen, but they listed a lot of times and Georgia come off the mat. You know, they were down, but, you know, Ohio State couldn't knock them out. And when they come off the mat, TCU paid the price.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's hard when a team's never been there. You know, they stunk 2 years ago. And then you're going against the Dogs. The Dogs, you know, they play, you know, in the Benz Dome to open the year. They wax Oregon, a team that, you know, hadn't played in a game like that. And then they SEC championships, always a war. Then they beat, you know, they get battle hardened versus Ohio State. They play fantastic. You know, obviously, you know, you want to hit that field goal. I mean, obviously, you know, it's hard to blame the kicker, but you know, a 50 yarder when he's never made a 50 yarder is really, really a tall task. Especially when he doesn't get a good hold. So, you know, but you know, I was proud of the guys. I was proud of the program. You know, I think that, you know, we're close. You know, obviously it stinks to get
very close.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing. It's like, you know, right now, if you're a Michigan fan or an Ohio State fan, like, who feels better about the offseason? Because, like, Michigan, you know, they lose to TCU and they stunk it up, pick sixes, fumbles. And then that team, you know, that waxes you, goes out and loses, you know, 66-7 or whatever the final score is to Georgia. Right. You know, where Ohio State, you know, the whole world saw Ohio State had that game won. And, you know, they kind of choked it up a little bit at the end. But, you know, one point loss to the team that is the two-time defending national champions. You know, which program do you think feels better right now, Bank?
Well, it has to be Ohio State because the Michigan coach is trying his best to leave there. He's been trying for 2 years. He wants to leave. He doesn't want to coach Michigan football anymore. But he has to have somewhere to go. So if somebody offers him a chance to go, he's going to leave. I mean, he made that clear last year when he did an interview with the Vikings on signing day. Whew. That remains the biggest FU to a school that I've ever seen a coach do before. Interview on signing day. He couldn't have told the Vikings, can we do it tomorrow? Can we do it at night? No, we're going to do it at 10 o'clock in the morning on signing day, which is unheard of. You know, I'd have fired him. I would have fired him on the spot. I can't believe Michigan didn't fire him. Like, and he's going to go this year. If Carolina or the Texans or somebody offers him a job, he's going to take it. And he's going to leave Michigan. He wants to leave. He's not taking these interviews because he likes to talk to general managers for fun. He's taking these interviews because he wants to go. So who would feel better about themselves? I mean, it has to be Ohio State. I don't care if they've lost two in a row or not. I mean, when the coach wants to leave, that tells you that, tells you all you need to know about the two programs.
Why do you think Jim Harbaugh wants to leave Michigan when it seems like they're on the upswing, beat Ohio State 2 years in a row? Is it he just wants to get out while the getting's good, or he just wants that pro life? You know, it's bizarre to me.
And look at the coaches have fled there. The coordinators have left there. He's lost a lot of coordinators lately. I mean, so it's just, and the recruiting hasn't been that good, but yet they've had two playoff appearances and two pretty thumping defeats of Ohio State. So this is one of the craziest stories you'll ever see. You have a coach that wants to leave. You have coordinators that don't want to be there. The recruiting is not knocking it out of the park, yet they played the best football Michigan's played in 20 years. So I think it's an amazing story how Michigan has done what they've done the past couple of years with all that coaching turmoil. I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy how they've done it. I give them a lot of credit. You know, they've whipped Ohio State soundly 2 years in a row. So, you know, credit to them. But, you know, with the coach that's doing all these interviews that wants to leave, coordinators that can't wait to get out of there. I mean, it's weird to me.
Yeah, I think it's one of the strangest things I've ever seen. And could you imagine the Ohio State fan base if Ryan Day was going after the NFL jobs like this? If he interviewed with a team on signing day, because again, that's like hanging out. That's like going and seeing your girlfriend the day you're getting married or something. Like that is like how is this going to work? Have you ever seen anything like that in all your years of covering college football?
No. And even the other day, you know, when they asked him about next year and he's like, I think I'll be right here at Michigan next year. It's like, you think, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, he's basically lying through his teeth when he said after last year that, you know, the deal with the Vikings was a one-time thing and he'd never do it again. Well, he's talked to Carolina. I mean, so he lied. He wants out. It's obvious he wants out. Somebody offers him a pro job, Indianapolis, somebody, he's going to take it. And he's going to go. And, you know, maybe he's cut out to be a pro coach more than he is an NCAA coach. You know, we're going to see if the NIL stuff drives guys out of the game. You're either going to embrace NIL and make it work for you, or you can't stand NIL. And at that point, if you're a good coach, you know, I think the NFL makes sense then. Let somebody else get your players for you. Let the GM get your players for you. And you just coach ball.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's something that if you're sophisticated and you can work it, the NIL stuff could be outstanding, hugely beneficial. But, you know, for Jim Harbaugh, you know, you've got a lot of friends that coach in the NFL. That NFL life is luxurious. It is wonderful.
It's a great life.
Oh, yeah.
In June, all the college coaches are either at their own camps or they're on the road going to other camps. You're sucking in dust the whole month of June. You know, in July, you might get 2 weeks off, maybe 10 days, and then the season starts right back up. In the NFL, like right now, if you're not in the playoffs right now, it's party time for NFL coaches. You're not worried about signing day or recruiting. That's the general manager's job. That's a different staff entirely. Now, they may send you out for a day or two to go to San Diego State to check out the tight end. Then you come back and you're playing golf.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There might be some OTAs mixed in, but, you know, for the most part, man, it's party time until next August. Where the college coach, man, it never ends. It just never ends. So the NFL life is much better life.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Switch gears. Your boy Whitfong crystal balled Dylan Rayola to Georgia. Me and you are not surprised by that at all. No. Your thoughts on the quarterback recruiting, potentially getting back in with Jaden Davis, maybe mending that fence. Where do we go? Again, like with Ryan Day, I don't worry. It's like worrying if Jeff Bezos can afford to go to lunch. Like I don't care about quarterback recruiting because Ryan Day is always going to have a good quarterback. He's either going to be a high school kid or he's going to go shopping in the portal because he is an aggressive guy in the portal. But where do you think we turn for 2024 in terms of the quarterback recruiting?
Well, the thing people, you know, really have to understand is Ryan Day generally finds his quarterback about a month or 6 weeks before signing day. Mm-hmm. You know, he got Kindholz this year late in the process. The year before, Devin Brown came in late in the process. C.J. Stroud was a late in the process guy. Justin Fields came over, you know, beyond late. So it's really nothing to worry about now because Ryan Day will get his guy and he may get him, you know, Thanksgiving of next year. So like you said, yes, nothing to worry about. He's going to get a great quarterback. And I don't think things are totally dead with Jaden Davis, even though, you know, kind of ended badly there with, you know, when Rayola made it known that he wanted to come on board, they kind of kicked Jaden Davis to the curb. But I can tell you that J.J. Smith wants Jaden Davis. So there could be he could be the middleman in this. J.J. Smith could facilitate this one. So I don't think it's dead with Jaden Davis at all, especially when, you know, it looks like he's going to go to Michigan, but when that staff flips over again, if Harbaugh leaves, then all bets are off. So,
see
what happens. We'll see what happens here. But, you know, like you say, Ryan Day will get his quarterback. He does it every year. And it may not be until next November.
Yeah. For me, I remember because it was funny. We were talking about this in pre-show how, you know, the week of the spring game, you know, I'm texting the Rayolas and I'm like, hey, are you coming in for the game? No. And then you put on the board that he was. And I was like, yeah, I talked to the dad. And I was like, you literally just told me you're not coming. He's like, well, things change. And there was kind of like this, they thought it was going to be like this, you know, we got to get there before Jaden Davis shows up. So, you know, and is it going to be some sort of not a brawl. Like, I'm not trying to be stupid, but it's just like, you know, we're going to be there and Jaden's going to be there and, you know, we're coming to commit and we're coming to, or at least silently commit, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, so, I mean, it was weird because, you know, all of a sudden the Rayolas are flying in and Ohio State basically tells Jaden Davis to go fly a kite, which is, you know, it's just weird. Cause like when you jump into bed with a quarterback, especially that early, I mean, you gotta burn every bridge. Again, it's like getting married. Like you can't, you know, if you're trying to like really make it work, man, you can't be half pregnant with a bunch of other quarterbacks and keeping them warm. And you got to cut off all talks. Like you can't even talk to a 2024 when you have the Rayolas thing going on. And honestly, I have an impeccable source that told me that, you know, we reached out to Drake May. So, I mean, like it's funny because I wasn't looking for that. I didn't, you know, again, that wasn't like something where I'm like, man, I wonder if Ryan went after Malik Willis 2 years ago when he didn't know how good CJ Stroud was when he was at Liberty. And you know, so the Drake May thing, like, look, if I'm Mark Pantone and I'm those guys, I'm hitting all the back channels and looking like, hey, you want to throw it to Marvin and Emeka next year and be the Heisman Trophy winner? Cause you can be, you know, and again, like, does Ryan really care about the feelings of quarterbacks when he can go get a guy who's going to be probably the first pick in the draft next year? No, I wouldn't either. You know, it's,
not at all.
I mean, imagine if we insert a Drake May into this offense. I mean, we'd be preseason number one. You know, we'd have a guy who's an All-American quarterback. But, you know, again, he got rebuffed by Mac Brown. And he just was one of those things where – but that's how college football is now. And, again, you can't be sensitive if you're a quarterback or if you're any position, you know, because – you know, with the transfer portal, man, you got kids coming in on visits that are already starters in college football. You know, we just had Jarrett Kingston, who went to USC. He was in this weekend. And I remember when I was a freshman at Ohio State, they used to be able to put jerseys with the players' nameplates on the back. And I remember I had some of my teammates, including TJ, tell me that there was a kid named Dan Doring who was from Illinois, and this kid was like a 5-star tackle. And if you look up Dan Doring, like he was like a 5-star, whatever. And like they had my jersey with my nameplate taken off, with his nameplate taken on, hanging in my locker, and I went like schizophrenic. I was like out of my mind because, you know, like. It's so disrespectful, but that's just kind of how it is now. Like these kids, they do the photo. Like you know, what are you going to do about it? Well, just don't let them beat you out. But that's just kind of how it was. And now, you know, you're doing it with these kids that are, you know, Jarrett Kingston. Getting a lot of questions in the chat about transfer portal offensive lineman, Justin Fry, what's going on with the O-line recruiting. What are your thoughts on that? Because again, like I know we've offered a bunch of these guys in the portal. Yeah. I don't know how good any of them are. I mean, honestly, the one kid from Wazoo was honorable mention all Pac-12, and like I watched USC's offensive line.
I think he's pretty good, but then you've got, you know, I mean, they offered, oh my god, they
everybody
or looked at everybody with a pulse and two or three guys that didn't have a pulse, you know. So that tells you what they think of their offensive line coming back. It doesn't matter what I think about their offensive line coming back or what you think. Yeah. What matters is what they think. Yeah. And when they're out there offering everybody and looking at everybody, well, that tells you what they think of what's coming back. You know what I mean? They're not out there looking at wide receivers.
No.
Okay? They feel pretty good about Emeka and Marvin. Well, why are they looking at everybody at a certain position group? It's because they don't like what they have. I mean, it's simple. It's math. You know, 1 + 1 = 2 here. They want offensive linemen. So that tells you, but you know, the question about Justin Fry, his first recruiting class, I thought it was good. You know, if you had Samson Okanlola, then it would have been great. You know, but he did lock down some Ohio kids and everybody's like, well, you know, everyone at Ohio State gets all the Ohio kids. Well, Stud didn't. Stud had a really poor record of offensive linemen, Ohio offensive linemen that he wanted, he offered, and couldn't get. And I agree, you should be able to lock in 90% of the Ohio kids you offer. So there he did do that. Then you look at what was on the field. They rushed for more yards per game in 2022 than they did in 21. They gave up less sacks in 22 than they did in 21. So, you know, I think on-field production was good as what Stud did, maybe a little better. Recruiting, I think you're really going to judge Justin Fry on next year's class. That 2024 class has got to be – it can't just be these Ohio kids and then another project. It's got to be monsters. He needs – you know, he needs to get five guys. I think will be the target this year. The target number I think will be five, and four of those five need to be surefire monsters. One project would be fine, but four of them, you can't just take, you know, these Ohio kids that want to be Buckeyes. You got to get the best in America if you want to be able to get over the top, you mm-hmm. know? So yeah, I think Justin Fry has done a really good job so far recruiting and on field, but next year he needs to step it up. He needs to jump it up another notch and go from a good class to a great class.
Do you think, I mean, I know you've seen some of the offensive linemen that are in Ohio for the 24 class. Do you think there are three guys that are that high of a level, like a beat Georgia, beat Bama type of level? Because we haven't offered any of them. Jake Wheelock's been in a lot, and we got the kids from St. Ed's, and you know the Hamilton kid. It seems like Michigan is making a lot more inroads, you know, offering these kids from St. Ed's, and you know, Hamilton committed up there, the redheaded kid. Yeah. Is that in your mind? Because again, I don't necessarily agree, because I think that the talent in Ohio is so far down that you have to go national to get the really good players. There's just not enough Paris Johnson. That's why, like, you know, when people talk about, like, you know, we missed on Ohio kids, I'm like, well, a lot of them couldn't play, I don't think. And, you know, that's why you go get Luke Whipler out of Jersey. You go get, you know, I mean, Paris is just an absolute different cat. But we don't, there's not a lot of Parises in Ohio. You got to go to Georgia, you got to go, you know, Donnie Jackson's from Texas, Nick Petit's from Tampa. I don't know, like, Ohio, you know, back, you know, obviously, you know, when I came out and then, like, that 02 class, like, you could get Nick Mangold, Rob Sims, you know, guys that are NFL guys, Pro Bowl type guys, but there just seems to be a dearth of them. And I think that we're really slow to go on these kids. And I think that they get upset, especially as soon as they get that Michigan offer, or to a lesser degree, that Penn State offer, and then Ohio State doesn't go on them. I think that there's, like, kind of a sourness that goes with these kids. Because, you know, a lot of them grew up Buckeye fans, and I lived it. There were a lot of kids that wanted to be Buckeyes, and they grew up wearing Ohio State stuff, and then they get a Michigan offer, and they end up at Michigan. So they end up at, like, the arch enemy. But do you think that there's enough high-level offensive linemen in Ohio to compete against Georgia and Bama? Because, like, you don't see Georgia and Bama coming up here very often and taking O-linemen. Right. So, I mean, I'd love your thought on that, just because I think that the decline of Ohio football, you know, and just the number of top-tier guys, like, It's been pretty dramatic over the last 15 years, and we've gone really national with our recruiting spread.
I think they have to. Now, the St. Ed's kids, those twins, they are really good. The Roebuck kid is really good, and I think their guys are going to have to come to camp. They're going to have to come to camp, blow it up. You know, you get out and see them in the spring evaluation period, see them at their high school, work them out, and then bring them into camp. I don't think those are automatic offers. I don't think they're Paris Johnsons where it's just no-brainer automatic. You know, I don't see it out of those guys. I think they're all good, and all three of them could end up being Ohio State players. Maybe. I don't think they're ready to go on them just coming off a junior film. So I think a little more needs to be done there. And I'm with you, man. I think you got to scour the country, and it's Ohio State. I mean, they should be able to go wherever they want to go and get kids, fight for kids, you know. So I think this is a really big year for Justin Fry. To, you know, recruiting for UCLA is a lot different than recruiting for Ohio State. And I think this is the year that he kind of tells us who he is, and we see about his chops in recruiting. Because Yeah, I just don't think bringing in those Ohio kids again this year, bringing in like three or four more Ohio kids, I don't think that's going to cut it. I really don't. I don't, you know, you need another Paris Johnson, and I don't think there's one in Ohio, so you better go find the Paris Johnson in Florida or in Texas or California, and you better get him. I mean, that's why Justin Fry was brought in. It wasn't to recruit Ohio. It's get the best. You know, I mean, because, you know, we talked to Phil Steele before the season, you know, and he talked about, like, he and I were talking about, like, when I recruit team, when I evaluate teams, I'm looking at head coach first, quarterback second, defense third, and O-line fourth. And I kind of wanted to get Phil Steele's thoughts on that. And he was like, I totally agree with that. So that made me feel like, you know, that's a pretty good way to go. But that's how high regard I hold, you know, O-line. And I think, you know, coaches around the country do. So you can't just take, you know, settle. You know, we'll just settle for these Ohio kids and we'll coach them up. You can't settle at any position, especially a group that's so important, you know, to winning a championship, to beating Bama, to beating Georgia. Yeah, so I think, you know, if there are no Paris Johnsons in Ohio this year coming up, and I don't think there are, then you better find the Paris Johnson that is out there and go compete with Georgia. Go compete with Bama. Out-recruit them and get them. And if you can't, then you got to find somebody who can, because that's the answer to beating those teams. You know, you can't have all these superstars, five-star quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, and then have a three-star offensive line in front of them. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think that our line played really well against Georgia. They negated Jalen Carter. You know, I mean, again, it's, and that's the best D line in the country. So, you know, when you can block those guys, you can block anybody. You know, obviously, you know, we're gonna have, you know, I think if you put Donnie at left tackle, Fry at right tackle, we can hang in there. They're not gonna be as good as Paris and Dewan, but that's the best tackle combo we've had since Pace and Stringer, in my opinion. This is the first, I mean, Paris Johnson, in my opinion, is a dark horse to be the number one pick, which would be crazy, but the Bears need a left tackle. I think they want to trade down.
He's going to go high.
Yeah, I mean, he's 20 years old. He graduated from college, first team All-American. I mean, he checked every box. He's got a nice foundation. Upside is tremendous. But,
He's not where he's, you know, he's nowhere near where he's going to be. The ceiling there is still gigantic. He is not a finished product at all. So, take him now, and he's darn good right now, but what's he going to be in 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, he'll be a pro bowler. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the way he can pass protect and move and how fluid he is. And plus he's just a really grounded kid. His mom is one of the great parents in Ohio State history. Really had a plan. I mean, he graduated from college in 3 years. So he already has his degree, went pro, first round pick, academic All Big Ten. He checked every box. So
yeah.
They don't make them like that very often. But yeah, I never bought the Ohio offensive line thing. So I know that there was always like consternation when they say, oh, we miss on these Ohio kids, but I don't think there's enough Ohio kids that can play. Cause like, I think that obviously I love Ohio high school football. This is not denigrating Ohio State.
I do too.
But you know, you live in Canton, and Canton football is way down from when I played. Like there's not Sean Crable and Devin Jordan and Justin Zwick, and you know, I mean, Justin Zwick could have gone anywhere in America. Crable could have gone anywhere in America. Like, you know, the Cleveland, I think, is, other than St. Ed's, is down. Columbus has got kind of ticked up a little bit, but it's just the depth just isn't there compared to, You know, like I always go back and look at that 02 class, which is 20 years ago, but you know, right. You got Zwick, Troy Smith, Maurice Clarett, AJ Hawk. In one recruiting class, Nick Mangold. I mean, you're talking NFL Hall of Famer, Pro Bowl, Rob Sims. Like, I mean, just a fantastic class. And you just don't have that anymore. Like, you can't take a class that's got 80% Ohio kids and expect to compete against Georgia and Bama. Like, you just can't.
No. And I think next year's Ohio class, the 2024 class, is one of the best. Not so much for a Paris Johnson or a Maurice Clarett, but a lot of those kids that end up starters that start for you 2 or 3 years, I think there's a lot of them in that 2024 class. I think we're going to see – I just throw a number out there. I think we'll see 10, 9 or 10 from the 2024 class in this Ohio State class, and I think they deserve it. There's two corners in this class – that, I mean, match up with the big-time corners that Ohio State wants to bring in. You know, what they'll be what we thought J.K. Johnson and Hancock were when they brought them in. Okay, mm-hmm. Bryce West, Aaron Scott, those guys are – they're one-on-one, put them on the island, cover guys. That's what they are. And they're going to get both those kids, I believe. So, and then, like I said, there's just a lot of kids in this class – that I think are Ohio State material. They've offered a bunch of them already. The running back is big time from Moeller. So it's a good class, you know, and the key will come down to what you talked about before, those O-line guys, you know, and I don't think they're ready to go on those guys right now. Just going off junior film and what they know of them, I don't think they're ready to go on them. I think those kids are going to have big springs, and they're definitely going to have to come to camp and knock it out of the park.
Do you think Ryan Day needs to get more involved in offensive line recruiting? The only reason I ask this is because, you know, obviously the Caden Proctor flip, which was 2 days before signing day, Iowa kid flips from Iowa to Bama. Obviously, wow. Eric Wolford, the former Youngstown State coach, is now the offensive line coach there. He was really good at Kentucky. He's at Bama. Yep. So it's not like Caden Proctor had like some 4-year relationship with that guy, because when he was at Kentucky, there's no way he's getting Caden Proctor. But, you know, I feel like Nick Saban is like a giant deodorant stick when it comes to recruiting, and he always makes everything smell good. You know, so, you know, I'm sure that I can't imagine that Nick didn't have a huge impact on getting Caden Proctor there. Because the thing about Bama is, as amazing as they are and as great as they are, they turn their staff over at a faster rate than any program in the history of football. Because everybody wants to hire him, because Texas wants to take all their guys, because Georgia wants to take all their guys, because Tennessee wants to take her. You know, it's like their guys, you know, and they don't just take like a coordinator to be the head coach. They take all your support staff guys. They take a position coach and make them a coordinator. Like, that's just so, you know, it's like revolving doors on all, like, it's probably the only football building in the country that has revolving doors installed at each position group meeting room. So, but should Ryan Day be more involved in the O-line recruiting? Because I can't believe that Caden Proctor flipped to Bama because of how amazing Eric Wolford was. Because, you know, he could be gone next year with Lane Kiffin at, you know, wherever, at, you know, at some, you know, at Florida or whatever. So, you know, I just, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he should. I you know, if I'm a head coach, I just try to look at it from my perspective. I mean, if I'm a head coach, I'm going to get involved in every single position group, not for every recruit, but for Paris Johnson, I'm getting involved in that one. You know what I mean? And I think Urban did it that way, too, when there was a big-time safety, you know, or a big-time D-tackle, whatever. You know, selectively, you got to jump in. I think you have to. You know, and again, not all 25 kids in the 25 recruiting class, but man, 4 or 5 of them, yes, you do got to. I think you absolutely have to. When you target that top Samson Okomola, you know what I mean? You got to get involved in there. Do you have to get involved with Josh Padilla? Probably not. You're probably okay there. Miles Walker, we probably can handle that one. But Samson Okomola, yeah, I'm getting involved in that one. Caleb Downs, yep, I am. And I don't know that Ryan Day isn't doing that. I don't know. But, yeah, I would as a head coach.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the it's like being Mick Jagger. Like, you know, when Ryan Day walks into school, or Kirby Smart walks, or Urban, when he used to walk into school, totally different than Ed Warner walking in. Totally different.
Yeah, there's a buzz.
Yeah, Mick Jagger's walking in. In terms of the running back recruiting, obviously disappointing. We wanted to take two. We got none. We have a preferred walk-on. Yeah. That is it. What are your thoughts on that? What needs to change? And is there anybody that is still out there that would be worth going after? I think it's kind of weird because, you know, that room on paper, as of this day, is probably the most loaded Ohio State running back room we've ever had. You got Trey, Mayan. I mean, you've got like five guys that can play. And then you throw Xavier as a kind of a slash guy. Evan Pryor coming off an ACL. Chip. I mean, you got guys that actually played in big, like guys that played in the Michigan game, like that are.
Well, you didn't even mention Alan Hayden. You haven't mentioned him. Yeah. Off, you know.
Yeah, five guys. Yeah.
Very deep room. I hate to see him pass this year. And then you say, oh, we'll just grab two next year. I mean, I don't know. I hate that type of thinking. You know, I think you need one every year. I really do. Oh. And you know, you always have depth until you don't.
Yeah.
Okay. And then this year, there you are in the Michigan game, and you either play Chip, who had one carry coming, and he played really well.
Yeah.
But, you know, was he Trey Henderson? No. You know.
No.
Dallin Hayden plays against Maryland. You don't play him against Michigan. It was kind of a, you know, you'd rather play Michigan with Trey and Maya. Uh-huh. You know, so you thought you had depth, and then all of a sudden you don't. So I would bring one in every year. Things can happen. Evan Pryor can end up in the portal. Dallin Hayden can end up in the portal. You just don't know. Trey Henderson could. And I just don't think you can pass a year. And I'm going to give Tony Alford a pass, though, because – and I'm the last guy that whines about NIL. I mean, it's like the thing you're supposed to do. If you cover a team as a recruiting guy, whether it's Illinois or Texas or Bama, whoever it is, if you're the recruiting expert, every time they don't get a kid, you have to say it's NIL. Where 5 years ago, you would say, well, that kid got bought. I don't care. You know, Alabama thinks Auburn buys players. You know, everybody thinks that the rival buys everyone. So I'm the last guy that says NIL, but with Mark Fletcher, it was NIL. Okay. If Cardell and Schottenstein could have stepped up to the plate, got in there and swung with Miami and Florida, they would have kept Mark Fletcher. That was a strictly an NIL thing. They loved Tony Alford. The family did. Mark did. Mark's buddies are all coming to Ohio State, Carnell and Innes and Sed Hawkins. But that was a straight up NIL thing. His dad was very involved. And I congratulate his dad. This is not meant to denigrate how they went about it. I thought they did the right thing. The running back, hits are at a premium, careers are short. And the money that, you know, I was told, you know, my SFE guys were telling me figures, Miami and Florida going back and forth, I would have done the same thing as a dad. And been proud of it. You know what I mean? So, but Tony had, there was nothing Tony Alford could do there short of Cardell and Schottenstein jumping into the fray and getting into the bidding. And, you know, so I do give Tony Alford a pass there, that there was nothing could have been done with Mark Fletcher.
Bank, if your kid was a five-star running back and you got a check for, you know, millions of dollars, and you got to go to the U every Saturday. I don't even know what you probably.
I mean, all the running backs in the NFL, they don't all come from Bama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Go look at the rosters of NFL running backs. They come from everywhere. And Mark Fletcher's got great work ethic. Mark Fletcher can develop anywhere. Mark Fletcher could develop at Texas Tech or Akron. Anywhere. But now his father and him, they have locked in financial security, you know, and the question always is, you know, the promises are being made. Are these promises being delivered on? You know, so we're going to find out about that. And I think that's the coming thing about NIL as we go forward the next year or two, are all the promises being made that aren't being delivered on. But in this case, I think this one's getting delivered on. I think they had safeguards in place here that I feel pretty good that Mark Fletcher is going to get what was promised.
Oh, and
God bless him and his family.
Good for him.
And you'll do the same thing someday if you're in this position.
Oh my God! It's like, you know, I mean, if my kid could go to the Florida Gators or Miami, and you know, because again, I don't just think about it. I mean, obviously, it's money. It's life changing money for anybody. You know, I mean, you get $750,000 or you know $3 million or whatever, is like that changes. I mean, your house is paid off. You can get your kid a nutritionist. You can get them a game ready. You get them all the stuff that, you know, you take care of your body. You start acting like a pro early. You know, you don't have to eat frozen pizzas and trash. You can actually eat like good healthy food, because that's all expensive. So I think good for the kid. You know, it's yes. tough.
You still have to go develop. I mean, this is almost like a first contract. You know what I mean? And then your NFL first contract's like your second contract, and your second NFL contract, if it comes about, is just, now you're talking crazy money. Now you're set for not just your life, kid's life, grandkid's life, you know, generational wealth, which is, that's the goal. Yep. You know, so I don't blame any of these kids, man. I don't blame them at all. I mean, they're the game. You know what I mean? Nobody goes to watch Justin Fry coach. Not one person. Maybe his wife does, but that's it. So God bless these kids, man. God bless these.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Kids for, you know, setting themselves up for life. That's what you go to college for.
Yeah, exactly. That's the funny thing. It's like, yeah, your whole job in college is to get a trade so you can learn how to make a living. And it's like, hell, I mean, you can put the cart before the horse and actually make money before you even get there. So that's
absolutely,
again, it's going to be interesting. Do you think that certain positions are going to be more difficult to recruit now because of NIL, like namely like quarterback, running back? It seems like those are the ones where, you know, like Ruben Owens is committed to Louisville, coaching staff leaves, and he ends up at Texas A&M. Texas A&M, they've got like the Neiman Marcus catalog every year, man. They're going through that thing. they're like, hey, we struck out on everybody last year, but we're going to try it again this year, baby. It's like they go to the casino with a bankroll and lose every day, and then they just come back with another bankroll. But
yeah.
It's like, do you think that certain positions are going to be tougher? And I always, I think that it was interesting because, you know, the U got, they ended up getting Samson Okunloa. They got the number one and number two tackle. So pure NIL stuff. But do you think like skill guys will be more apt to get the NIL deals? You know, kind of like just how it's always been.
That's kind of tough to say. I would think so. I would think so. I mean, if you look, I mean, especially quarterback. Quarterback is the number one position in all of team sports. More than a center fielder, more than a power forward, you have to have a quarterback. So, yeah, I would think so. And the thing is, it's going to be hard to hold these guys. You know what I mean? You're not going to see a quarterback room of 3 5-star kids that are all just – you just sit there and you wait your – like in the old days, you would just wait your turn. You play behind an All-American for 2 or 3 years. You wait for him to – those days are gone. Mm. Gone. You know, and it's funny to see these coaches complaining about tampering. And, I mean, you know, welcome to 2023. I mean, get your head out of the sand. And it's not so much the direct tampering where it's, you know, the Indiana – quarterback coach calling a quarterback from Texas. It's not that, but these kids all have guys Okay. And it's their guys that are reaching out to the schools, or the schools are reaching out to the mentors, the 7-on-7 guys. So this is just football in 2023. There's no reason to complain about it. This is the way it is, you know? So you're not going to be able to hold on. You're not going to have a quarterback room of 2 or 3 studs that all just sit there and wait their turn. It's just not going to happen anymore. So when you lose your guy, you got to be able to go out and get somebody else. You have to be able to react, you know, kind of the way they did, you know, with Justin Fields. You know what I mean? They had a hole there. They had a need there, and they filled it with a superstar. So, and that's kind of the way you have to be. And at the end of the day, Ohio State is still Ohio State. Yeah. Still a great place to play. Tremendous place to play. And their kids, the best players at Ohio State are doing really well with NIL.
Yep.
I mean, really well. So I think Ohio State will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, CJ Stroud bought his mom a house for Christmas, you know, with eligibility remaining. So, I mean, you know, he had to have money for the down payment somewhere. And, I mean, he's in California, big 4-bedroom house. Like, and again, God bless him. Because, again, these, you know, the thing that changed everything for me on players getting, you know, paid substantial amounts of money is the coaching salaries have just gone absolutely crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's like insane. My last year, or Truss's last year, you know, when he got whacked, Jim Bowman was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He made $350,000 as the offensive coordinator, 10 years on the job.
And O-line coach.
So
doing double duty.
Yeah. So now a good coordinator is making $2 million, 7X. So, I mean, there's not many jobs in this world where the salaries are going up sevenfold. Like $350,000 is like the special teams guy. That's Parker Fleming now. So it's, you know, it's, and the head coaches have got, you know, Lincoln Riley's making $15 million. You know, Jim Harbaugh got offered $20 million by the Denver Broncos on his term. So it's like, you know, like
how do you not run after that, man, with open arms? Where do I sign?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's crazy. My in-laws lived in Boulder, and it is like one of the most beautiful parts of the entire country. And it is just like, to go make $20 million a year to live in Denver, that's an amazing life. Now the problem is they have that albatross of a contract with Russell Wilson. Hey. They don't have any draft picks, but hey, $20 million, you can do.
$20 million, man, we'll figure it out.
You can dry your tears pretty easily with $20 million. So, all right, so we're gonna wrap this thing up. Any guys on the radar at all for the second signing day for the Buckeyes? I mean, I feel like it's almost like a nothing burger at this point. I mean, our guys all signed. Is there anybody still out there that could make an impact, or is it just kind of we're going to go?
Nobody I'm aware of right now. I think they've spent so much of their efforts in the portal after the first signing day. There could be a surprise pop up, but so far what they've done, they've been portaling like crazy, especially for those O-linemen. When after a DB or two, but man, mostly it's been O-linemen and every O-lineman. You know, it's been kind of funny to watch all the guys that they've chased. And it's like, you know, as a guy that started at UTEP, is he better than the backups at Ohio State? I mean, maybe they are, you know, and that's, you have to make that determination. That's your call. You know, if you're taking a guy that started at Indiana and was like second team all Big Ten, I mean, I get that. Going after these, you know, the UTEP guy or the Rhode Island guy, or I mean, someone from Ryder College. It's just crazy to me that guy could be better than what's in the Ohio State room. And that's what Mark Pantone and Justin Fry, that's their job to determine that.
Yeah, it's weird. Why do you think we've struck out on all these guys when we have two wide open tackle positions? Do you think it's because we're not going to promise that they're going to get to start? Like, it's just one of those weird things. I would have like I'd have a big sign like at Krispy Kreme. Yeah, like open for business. Like, you know, like the Krispy Kreme hot sign. It would just be a big red sign that says, "We need tackles," you know, and it's just like,
if there was a guy I wanted and I knew he was a starter, I would bring him in on a visit and bring him into the O-line room and say, this guy's starting. So the rest of you are fighting for the other spots because this dude is our starting right tackle as of now. And he hasn't even committed yet. He hasn't even signed yet. He's the starter. If he wants the spot, it's his. The rest of you got to fight for the other spot. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. There's still a long way to go.
Yeah. A final name I'm going to talk about is a blast from the past. Keata Goodwin is in the portal right now still. And that was a weird one. I know Ryan Day basically told him to F off because he was acting like an idiot. So again, sometimes like when we don't get these kids, you know, it's kind of a blessing in disguise because he seems like he's kind of a turd. But are you surprised that it went south at Kentucky that fast and he's in the portal that quick? And are you even more surprised that he hasn't found a home yet? He was a five-star tackle, 6'7", 6'8".
As a player, you know, just looking at his film, it was really impressive. And then, you know, you heard the whispers that, you know, things didn't go real well between him and, you know, especially, you know, Ryan Day. So I don't know. And then, you know, when you see the kid go to Kentucky and he lasts 6 months, you know, why is he leaving? Did he get nudged? And if a five-star offensive tackle gets nudged, man, you better look into that background. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I would have to do some serious homework on him. Just as a football player, I'd take him tonight and promise him a starting job. You know what I mean? I'll take him. But what don't we know about that situation? There would be a lot of homework have to be done there because something's wrong. Something's wrong there. And I'd want to know what it is.
The biggest red, you know, other than, you know, the stuff with Ryan Day and, you know, Ryan Day not being a fan of him. The biggest red flag for me is when he's got Bama, Georgia, Clemson, USC, Ohio State, Michigan, and his final two are Michigan State and Kentucky. Yeah. Like, I'm like, you know, because again, like if I'm that kid, it's Bama, Georgia, Ohio State or Michigan, like good offensive line schools.
Wanted him too. Those weren't just teams that were listed on his 24/7 profile that, yeah, he had one of those phony baloney offers. They weren't going to take him. No, Bama would have taken Keontae Goodwin.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, they would have taken him. They wanted him. So, I don't know. There's some investigation would have to be done there. Something's wrong. Something's not adding up. That's all I would say. Something's not – it's not the way it appears. Something's wrong.
Well, and the weird thing is you would think that he would go to a place like Bama because, you know, Eric Wolford recruited him at Kentucky.
Sure.
And then right after the ink dried, he took off and went to Bama. So again, like, I mean, it's surprising he didn't go right to Bama. I don't know. It's a weird one.
Maybe Wolford does get him. Wolford's a great recruiter.
Yeah.
I've known Eric for 15 years. He is a great recruiter. A great guy. You know, my first introduction to him came, who did he get out of Glenville?
Was it YSU or where was he at?
No, he was at Illinois under Zook. Cordell Scott, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
We got him, man, right off from under Tress's nose. And that was my first introduction to him as a recruiter. You know, he's good. Yeah. You know, and and maybe, you know, tomorrow Keontae Goodwin will announce that he's transferring to Bama.
Yeah,
everything will kind of will be clear. You know, he transfers to Idaho State, then something's wrong.
Yeah,
so we'll see. But I don't think Ohio State would get involved there. I think Ryan Day washed his hands of that one a while ago. And I don't think that situation looks any better, you know, a year later than it did a year ago.
Yeah,
it doesn't look right to me.
Yeah, when I saw his final two were Michigan State and Kentucky, and I looked at his offer, he's got 130 Division I offers, and it's like, those are your final two, a team in the Big Ten that stinks and a team in the SEC that stinks, and it's like, and not Bama, not Georgia, like it was just very strange. Yeah. So, I'm gonna ring this thing off. Any closing comments, Bank? Appreciate your time, my man, as always. Any closing comments for the Buckeye Scoop crew? Big crowd tonight. Appreciate you guys tuning in tonight.
Yeah, no, not really. You know, just the frustration that, you know, when you watch Ohio State take a 14-point lead over Georgia in the fourth quarter, they're an inch away from going to the championship game, and you're not going to the championship game to play Bama. Oh. You know, you're going to play this TCU team.
Oh.
And now Ohio State's not going to beat them 65-7, but Ohio State would have beat them. In my opinion, Ohio State would have beat that team. And I don't think it would have been that hard to beat them either. I think, you know, 45-35 or something like that. And, I mean, national championships, they just don't come around that often. They're hard. And this one, you know, the hard part was the semifinal game. That was the hard part. And, gosh darn, you know, with that big lead in the fourth quarter, and you just couldn't put it away. And that's so frustrating because this would have been, you know, we always talk, you know, three national championships in the last 50 years. This would have been number four. And that's the frustrating thing. But the good thing is, I mean, it shows that when you watch that Georgia team play last night and if you appreciate great football, you just watch that Georgia team and you're so, man, you love what you saw. Whether you like them or hate them, you respect what you saw on the field. They're so good, so well coached. Well, Ohio State is just as good. They're just as good as Georgia, and they proved that. It's more like almost frustration than anything else that, I mean, man, this was a national time. You know, when you played Bama years ago, you had no chance. You were not beating that team. Mac Jones and Najee Harris and Devon, you just weren't going to beat that team. You weren't as good as them.
Yeah.
But, you know, when Georgia, you got a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter and the reward beating that TCU.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Whew.
Oh.
Oof. Oh.
You know, it's just tough. It's sports. It's a heartbreaker. So you pick yourself back up and you go back to work.
We guys got breaking news. Luke Whippler has declared for the NFL draft. And your reaction?
I
knew it was coming. I had really, really good sources on that one. So I've been saying it. People didn't believe it, but I'm like, you know, Luke is.
I think it's the right move.
Yeah. And, you know, and people, you know, Josh Myers went pro and he's going to have a huge contract extension started every game. Like we've had an incredible run of centers recently with you know, Billy Price went first round, Elflein, Corey Lensley, Pro Bowler, highest paid center of all time, Josh Myers.
You know, you've been saying for a while that you thought he was going or you knew he was going.
Yep.
And his final film that you're going to put out there is what he put out the other day. He was a monster in that game. That was one of his best games.
Yeah.
He played better against Georgia. He had some games in the middle of the year, Indiana, Rutgers, somewhere where he was okay. He was tremendous against Georgia. And maybe, you know, that's a great film to go to the league on. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You block those guys? Yeah, we want you on our team. Yeah. If you can block those monsters, you know, you're a darn good football player. And Whippler was tremendous in that game against Georgia. It's one of his best games. So that's a heck of a film to go out on. I can't argue with that decision that he's made. I think it's a good one. I don't know where coming back. I don't know how he improves his draft status coming back. I think it's the right call.
Yeah, I think it's you know, it's just another hole. But, you know, again, it's tough when you're no lineman. You lose your two tackles. And then, you know, when you're Luke coming back, do you want to be a part of a line that's not as productive? And plus there's a part of you where it's like, you know, a lot of people have been talking about how great Paris is. Him and Luke are the same age. Luke just redshirted his first year.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there's sometimes like that itch where guys want to jump because, you know, they want to prove that they're a three and out guy. They want to go get to that second contract a year earlier. And again, like, you know, who did he learn under his first year? Josh Myers. Josh Myers has been fantastic for Green Bay. Yeah. You know, you go second, third round, you start. Again, like I can't believe the run we've had on centers in the league. You know, especially like I coached Corey. And the funny thing about Corey Linsley is he didn't start a game until his fourth season at Ohio State. It's fourth.
Well, he wasn't. Let's say he wasn't committed to the process.
Yes. Early on. Yes, he was. He was not committed to the process.
That. He would say It's not me talking behind his back. You know, I don't want to do that, but he would say that he wasn't. He wasn't all in, and Urban brought him all in. You're going to be all in, or you're going to be all out. One or the other.
Oh yeah.
Well, and he made him a millionaire. Made him into a millionaire. And I think Whipler's. I think that film against Georgia, that's one to live on there. Yeah. That's going to be my final. That would be my final college film.
Oh,
you can't beat that. He was tremendous in that game. So good for him.
And that's the first film every scout and GM and O-line coach is going to watch. The Georgia.
And they may shut it off after that. They may have seen all we need to see.
Yeah, you got Jalen Carter.
I don't need to see him against Indiana or Michigan State. I've seen what I need to see.
Yeah. Yeah, guys aren't going to waste their time watching Rutgers and Indiana and Arkansas State, but they're going to watch that Georgia film. They'll watch Georgia and Michigan, and that's it. You know,
it's going to look good. The Georgia one's going to look good.
Yeah. Well, that's big news. Good for Luke. Happy for him. I think if Matt Jones comes back and could be our center, that'd be fantastic. But – you know, Justin Fry's got his work cut out for him, and that's why they pay him all the big bucks. Because man, it is you know, losing your two tackles go early and your center go early. You know, it's kind of the gift and the curse of having really good players is they can leave early. You know, so it's like it's a good problem to have Paris and Luke, but you know they're not going to stick. I mean, Luke's not going to stick for 5 years. There's no way. And Josh Myers left early, so. You know, it's a tough game. Got to go get paid.
That's why you got to recruit him every year. You got to get out there every year and got to have a great recruiting class every year because Bama's going to have a great class every year and Georgia's going to have a great class every year. So you better have a great class every year. So.
Oh, yeah. And Georgia doesn't have to go as far to find those big monsters because they drive around Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida, and they can get their entire team. Like, they don't have to go.
Yep.
Yeah, you get all you need. Well, Bank, I appreciate you, my man. Thank you for staying off that late breaking news. All right, brother, we are going to wrap this thing up. We got to get Phil Steele back on here. Appreciate you guys. This has been a marathon of Scoop coverage. We appreciate you on BuckeyeScoop.com. We are having a fantastic run of coverage right now. Bank does his chat every Thursday. It is absolutely fantastic. One of the best parts of our entire site. Nevada Buck has been bringing the heat with Inside the Team Nuggets. It has been a really, really, really good run for Buckeye Scoop. We are the best and biggest Ohio State community out there, so we'd love to have you. So join BuckeyeScoop.com. Love to have you. Once you're on, you'll never leave because people really get addicted to it, and it's a lot of fun. So hope you guys had a great night with us. We appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, thank you. We love talking to you guys. We love the questions. Thank you guys. Please, if you could, leave us a like on here. Appreciate that. Click subscribe. If you're listening to this on an audio format on iTunes, Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. Those are huge. They help people find the show. Last month, we were the number one rated podcast in the Ohio State sphere. So we appreciate you guys for that. Thank you guys for all your support. And in the comments on YouTube, who replaces Luke Whipler? I think it's going to be Jacob James. It could be Matt Jones if he comes back. You know, and you know, what do we need to do to improve this O-line recruiting? It is a tough gig right now. A lot of open spots. So hopefully our guys will get after it. So hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much, Buckeye Nation. And thank you, Scoop family. You guys are truly the best. Appreciate you guys. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.